Hi, I'm Alex.
And I'm Tom. And on this episode of Flash in the Pan, what's up? Hello and welcome to another edition of Flash in the Pan.
Welcome back.
Hi, Flashketeers. It's me, Tom, and that's Alex. Aren't you excited to join us for some cartoons from the internet from the past? Because I know I am excited for all of that.
You had better be, or else.
Or else. Alex can threaten you with a thousand forms of pain.
Yeah. I don't actually know a thousand ways to inflict pain on someone. I probably only know about 10, so you know, get ready for that. I guess
Alex in the medieval dungeon with a little clipboard and checklist.
Flogging and stabbing you. Is there anything else I need?
Hopefully stabbing you is at the end of the list. Otherwise,
well, it's just a little. It's just a little bit.
Oh, okay.
It's not like the full thing, you know. It's just a light stabbing.
A gentle stabbing.
Yeah, just one that's fine.
A little stabbit.
Tolerable by most people.
Well, speaking of being tolerable by most people, hopefully you enjoy today's show. If you do, then you can head over to patreon.com/flashinthepan and help support us. More details later in the program. Of course, as always, you can go to our website, flashinthepancast.com, and find links to all the cartoons we're going to talk about today. And we're going to be starting with something that has been suggested by, let me see, more than a couple of people. By friend of the show, Great Joe. By Sarah. By Anonymous, and another Anonymous. So, I hope you're happy with yourselves, because we're going to be watching a cartoon called Splash Attack.
Oh, wait. Oh, fuck. I know what this is. I know what this is. Oh, no. Okay.
Give it up, Red. You can't win. Well, see about that. Go Magikarp! Oh, Magikarp, eh? Well, two can play at this game. I choose you, Magikarp! Magikarp, use your splash attack! Now, Magikarp, hit him with a splash attack! Great, Magikarp! Now you splash! Now, Magikarp, hit him with a splash attack! You can do it, Magikarp! I believe in you! Splash attack, now! You call that a splash? Show him what a real splash attack looks like, Magikarp. Alright, Magikarp! Now finish him off with a splash attack! Magikarp, respond quickly with a splash attack! Magikarp, return! I choose you! Magikarp, use a splash attack!
And so ad infinitum.
That was over? Oh, how about that? I totally didn't notice the last 4 minutes went by really, really slowly.
So, yeah, we should start by saying, if you are going to watch us at home, and why not, then do yourself a favor and track down the original Flash version. This is one of those fun videos that uses Flash's capabilities to randomize the order of scenes and lines to the point where it will repeat infinitely, but with a different combination of Ash and Gary's lines and retorts and rebuttals each time, which is a fun way of kind of tricking you into watching it for longer than you should.
Just waiting for something to happen.
Yeah, like the upload, like in the uploader's description, they do say, "Stop uploading this to YouTube, you idiots! It kind of ruins the joke, and it's only meant to be on Newgrounds."
I hate to correct you, but it's not Ash and Gary.
Oh, sorry, Red and Blue.
It's Red and Blue. Sorry, okay. I need to get that straight before
No, thank you.
Start getting bricks thrown through our windows there.
It's me,
I'm throwing the brick through your window for getting that wrong.
Okay, well maybe you can throw a brick called the plot through the window.
Wow!
Through the window of our listeners' ears. What's happening in this cartoon, Alex?
So you have Pokemon Trainer Red from Pokemon Fire Red. It's all from the Fire Red Leaf Green assets, that generation of Pokemon. Only the first reboot of Red and Blue. Amazing. Yeah. And they have Pokemon Trainer Rival, or Blue, who appears in a couple of games. They both have Magikarp. Magikarp is a fish Pokemon.
And how?
A pocket monster, if you will.
Yeah, it's a cute little round carp friend.
It's a little fish, it's like a carp, like a koi carp type thing from the very first 150 Pokemon from the Nintendo series Pokemon games developed by Game Freak. Released in 1996.
Okay, Alex.
So anyway, Alex,
I see that you're punishing me for showing you this cartoon by drawing this out just as long.
Yeah.
As I made you watch this.
So there's a move that the Magikarp does. Magikarp can learn a few moves, but there's one move it learns that is basically, I think, is basically, well, it doesn't do any damage. It might be a stat boost thing in later games. I don't know.
I don't think so.
But it's just Splash. It just kind of flops around. It's a splash. It's an attack called Splash.
And it does nothing.
It's a splash attack. It doesn't do anything. The Magikarp flails around. It's oddly reminiscent of a joke they actually did in the Pokemon anime, where two Metapods fought by hardening.
Mm.
Except in that, I think one of them, and you're welcome to say, you know, big mood to this. It gets so hard it passes out.
God, I wish that were me.
But in this, it's literally just, oh, splash attack, splash attack, splash attack. At one point, Blue gets a phone call and is like, what? Team Rocket, suck my balls, Magikarp, splash attack. Sometimes Red or Blue withdraws Magikarp only to send Magikarp back out. It could be a different Magikarp. We don't know. Sometimes Blue sends out Ditto and he's like, ah, shit, but it's okay because Ditto, I don't know if you know this, Ditto can turn into any Pokemon. And it obviously turns into Magikarp.
Mm-hmm. And so the struggle continues.
It's a copycat Pokemon. It can take the form of a Pokemon that it sees immediately in front of it. So it turns into Magikarp and it just goes on. He goes on for very long minutes.
At least that's the version we have on YouTube. And
yeah,
on the Newgrounds re-uploads.
Yeah.
The original could go on forever.
The original could go on forever if you really, really wanted it to. If you thought that this was... I think, yeah, this definitely was probably pretty funny when this came out. Like, haha, look, I'm Magikarp, it's Splash Attack. Now it's just like, okay. I this is something that someone would send me, but like, remember this? I'd be like, oh yeah, I'd watch it for like 30 seconds and turn it off.
Wow, okay. So that's a very strong negative review from Alex there.
It's not, literally, it's not bad. all the assets are used correctly. It looks like the game. The animation is fine. It's just the same joke over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Which is the joke. I do. Don't email in saying you don't get. I understand the joke. I do understand the joke.
at one point, Blue says that Magikarp should use Hyper Beam.
And he goes, "What the fuck? You don't know Hyper Beam? Just use Splash." That part's pretty funny. The first time you see it.
I do want to talk briefly about the animation, because this is a sprite animation, so it's all assets taken from Pokemon Fire Red or Leaf Green. Although it's a little bit jank, because in the background you can see a lot of JPEG artifacting.
Yeah.
And also, this is something that puzzled me. On the Magikarp sprite, there is a little black cross right in the center. And what I assume is that is a placeholder for sprite animating, for putting the different sprites together.
Wow.
And making sure that and making sure they're all centered. And presumably you would then remove that, but the animator of this declines to do that. Or maybe forgot.
I mean, I only just noticed because you pointed it out. So maybe they just got away with it.
Yeah, maybe. It also has that odd thing with sprite animations where, like, they turn and twist on not 90 degree angles, and it always looks a bit jaggy and strange.
Yeah.
We do have one original asset, which is Blue's phone.
The phone.
Which is just a couple of grey lines. This is a very lo-fi animation, but that's fine. That's not the point, right? The point is that it's Magikarp and it's Splash Attack and it's forever and you're trapped.
Yep. I think they drew the Pokeball as well. Yeah. Yeah, they did. Because I don't think that's from the game.
Oh.
It doesn't look like it. That looks like it was drawn to me.
Okay. Maybe you're right. I cannot tell. But what I can tell you is that these voices are fine. They are your kind of standard comedy voices for someone just riffing at themselves in their bedroom. I do like that Red has a slight southern drawl. I think that's quite endearing.
I thought Blue sounded a bit like Eric Cartman in places. I don't know if that's... I don't know if I'm hearing that right. This doesn't add anything to the conversation. I'm just pointing it out. I think it sounded like Cartman.
Yeah, this is remarkably content free as an experience, and yet, as we will soon discover, this was immensely successful. Is there anything we have left to say about the cartoon itself? Because I think once we are trying to scrutinize whether a Pokeball was drawn.
I'm pretty sure it was drawn because it's not totally round. It's got like a weird wobbly line around it.
Okay, we need to pull the ripcord. because we should instead of a splash attack, we should use a flash. Attack.
Thank you.
Splash Attack. This was made by someone going by the name of Sir Shmoopy way back in May of 2007. To date on Newgrounds, this has 1.6 million views.
Damn.
There is a mirror on YouTube which has a further 100,000 views, and there are others with similar counts. This was front-paged in July of 2007, so that's after, 2 months. So this was a slow burn, clearly. Or maybe whoever was judging whether it should be front-paged just wanted to watch it for an extra 2 months to make sure that they hadn't missed any content. generally, rave reviews, very popular. It is part of the Portal History 2007 page on Newgrounds. It is very much a beloved memory. And clearly, if we got that many suggestions to cover it, you know, lots of people do remember this and remember it fondly, or maybe they just remember pranking a friend with it equally fondly, which is definitely possible. So let's learn a little bit more about Sir Shmoopy. Sir Shmoopy also goes by the name Rawb, R-A-W-B, is a guy called Robert Moran, or Morin, who is based in Canada, in Toronto, or Trono, as they say up here. he's not just still an animator, but he is, according to his Twitter profile, a 15-year professional content creator and digital bard.
Damn.
Mm-hmm. With over 130,000 subs on YouTube, he has been making Minecraft videos, animations, mostly fantasy themed, as part of a long-running series called Unforgotten Realms. Okay. But his back catalog includes a lot of Let's Play videos. So hey, he's in a similar sphere to you.
Okay.
But also, yeah, like, for instance, short comedy videos where he adds voiceover to scenes from The Mandalorian, or parody top 10 videos. He is still uploading stuff to Newgrounds. The most recent video was something is the most recent videos, which were released last year, were part of a revival of Unforgotten Realms called Unforgotten Realms Z.
Okay.
And that series continues to be popular and continues to get plenty of people excited. He also Twitch streams regularly, which is fun as well. So yeah, like, he is
still around.
Yeah, a digital bard.
Wow.
Rawb.tv is the link for the Twitch page, and he was streaming just 3 days ago as we record this. There was an Unforgotten Realms website, urealms.com, which ran for several years and did include a forum, which I was unable to recover from the Internet Archive, sadly.
It's always the forum.
But that website included all sorts of Let's Play stuff, like Saints Row 2 and Minecraft, and lots and lots of like fantasy roleplay within Minecraft, which is fun.
Hmm. That's cool, yeah.
Success. I mean, this has been successful enough to keep doing it for this long, which is pretty cool.
It's always nice when people don't like just disappear into the ether, never to be seen again.
Yes, I agree. I am glad that he seems to be doing well, and thriving, and still getting a lot of mileage out of just like having fun in modded Minecraft. You know, Minecraft is eternal, apparently.
Oh yeah, Minecraft will probably outlive us.
Mm-hmm.
To be fair.
Yeah. I do want to finish this Flash R section by sharing a tweet that he put out earlier this year in January, next to a lovely photo of himself against a snowy backdrop. He said, "If you're feeling directionless in life, move toward anything that gives you personal peace. A wise friend once told me to find my peace once, and that idea gives me such guidance during hardships."
Oh, that's nice.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Rawb, a.k.a. Sir Shmoopy, we will probably be covering Unforgotten Realms in future. We have had a couple of requests for it. But we're starting with Splash Attack because it is the Poke phenomenon that sent shockwaves through the world in 2007, apparently. shall we conclude this first chunk with some comments?
Oh, go on then.
Go on then? Okay. Ba-ba-ba-ba. So, this first one is from YouTube, and this is Sindragoza, 4 years ago. commented and said, "I'm glad that people put this on YouTube, smiley face. The guy who made this is amazing and easily one of the best internet video creators of all time. It was made by the same guy who made Jimmy the World of Warcraft Story and Time Gnomes. He even had an animated series called Unforgotten Realms that was hilarious. And all of those things are true. Hilarious? I don't know. I haven't watched it. We'll find out in future." And I have a few more. These are all taken from Newgrounds.
Henry Haas, June 22nd of this year, 2023, 5 out of 5, said, "The height of civilization."
Remember what they took from us, Alex.
Remember what they they did take Adobe Flash away. That is true. They did do that. But Pokemon is eternal. Pokemon is something else that will probably outlive both of us.
Yeah, probably at this rate.
Yeah.
Goodness me. Gregor88 in June 6th, 2008 gave it 0 out of 5. Gregor said, "Fail. Destructive criticism? You owe me 20 minutes of my life that I'll never get back. Constructive criticism? Infinite loops that lack a punchline or something interesting and not funny. I can't emphasize this enough. No loops."
Okay.
I think that's beautiful that this person spent so long, and in fact, so did Sir Schmoopy, who responded. Go ahead.
Said, "The fact you watched 1 minute of cartoon for 20 minutes mean I won the internet. High five." Imagine watching it for 20 minutes and be like, "When's something gonna happen?"
I mean, 4 minutes was rough going.
Yeah.
Shall we say. Timmy, May 6th of 2007, said, "One of the funnier Pokemon parodies," and gave it 5 out of 5. Timmy continues, "But it requires a basic knowledge of Pokemon, which sadly I have. From what I remember, Magikarp was so incredibly useless it was laughable. Very nice flash."
I mean, Magikarp's always been pretty... I mean, it can be good. It depends how you use it. Everybody gets Gyarados. That's why you get Magikarp for Gyarados.
Exactly.
And then the last one we have is Psycho Duck 21, June 21st, 2007, 4.5 out of 5, said, "It just keeps going and going. Brilliance, man. Amazing use of a random repeat, 3 exclamation points. It's still playing as I write this, XD. Every now and then, something weird pops up, though, like Blue getting a phone call, XD. It just keeps going and going. The duck has spoken." Wonderful. Oh, I love it when people sign their post.
That's not just signing your post, though. That is declaring that you have contributed.
Imagine ending a conversation with a real person and be like, "I have spoken," and walking off.
I can't lie. So you know in Venture Bros where with a Sphinx, where they have the giant Sphinx?
Yeah, yeah.
It just goes, "The Sphinx has spoken."
Yeah.
That's exactly the voice that I read.
That's exactly the duck has spoken. Wonderful.
Wonderful stuff. So yeah, that is Splash Attack. I think that's the most anyone has ever talked about Splash Attack.
Yeah, probably.
Just going, "Oh, fuck this."
Yeah, we squeezed about half an hour of a conversation, maybe? No, less? Like, I don't know. However long it was. I feel like it's one of the shorter conversations we've had about an animation. But also, there is so little to say. The fact that we said as much as we did, I think we should get an award.
It's small but perfectly formed, as they say.
True, yes. You know what? I think that's the perfect way to sum that up. And yeah,
it's a really annoying little gem.
Yes. Which Newgrounds was really good at.
Oh, yes.
And this is one of them.
Oh, yes. And speaking of annoying gems, I think we should move on to another classic video game jape. This one is going all the way back into the distant, distant past of 2000, because we are going to be talking about Quake 3 Wazza.
Wazza.
So what's up, B?
Watching the game, having a bud.
True, true.
Wazza! Wazza!
Yo, what's that?
Yo! Yo, pick up the phone!
Hello?
Wazza!
Wazza!
So yeah, Alex, Wazza!
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 I'm glad that I was too young and too English for that to have penetrated my world back in the day, because I would have been very annoying. My first exposure to this Wazza up thing was that 90s show parody from Perfect Kirby.
Mine was from fucking Scary Movie. They do a parody of that in Scary Movie.
Oh, they do, don't they?
They do. Yes. That was the first time I was exposed to this.
And if you were watching a Scary Movie, you were exposed to an awful lot of other things.
Yeah, I really shouldn't have seen that movie when I was, I don't know, I was like 13, maybe? I really should not have watched that movie.
Mm-hmm. So, let's talk about what this is, visually, first.
Okay.
So this is a machinima, kind of.
Tis? Well, okay, hang on. Let me see this again. Because machinima kind of has to imply that it's made in-engine. That's the whole...
Oh, you're right, yes.
...thing where it's called, like, machine animation.
Then this is just Photoshop.
This is literally... They've gone in and they've edited the characters... faces moving. The images are taken from the game, but it's not actually in engine.
That
it's not in
sense.
The Quake engine.
No, it's not. I mean, they have lip synced it remarkably well.
Yeah, no, it's done really, really, really well. Like, the actual lip sync that's there is actually quite impressive.
One of them, I believe, one of the guys is John Carmack.
The guy in the white t-shirt?
Yes.
I think you're right, yes.
So that's nice that John Carmack is there.
Yeah, that's nice. Doom guy shows up too, that's fun.
He does, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Doom has to recognize and respect his successor in Quake 3.
Yeah, yeah.
So when I was 12? 10 to 12. I definitely played a lot of Quake 3. Not online, because I was 10 to 12 and we didn't have that kind of internet connection. But I did I did play Quake 3 a lot, like on my dad's computer.
Yeah.
And I had a whale of a time. Was I good at it? No. But I had a great time.
doesn't matter if you had fun, right? That's what games are for.
Exactly.
Games are for having fun. It doesn't matter if you're dog shit at it.
My favorite guy in it was Oculus, who was just like a big eyeball on legs.
Oh, yeah. He's a fun one. A lot of very fun characters in Quake.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder what's going on with Quake nowadays.
I think the most recent Quake thing was Quake Champions?
Oh, wait, no, they re-released the original, didn't they?
Yeah, oh yeah, they did.
They did a big remaster.
They did a remaster. They've done a remaster of Quake 1 and this year, Quake 2. And both of them were... The really cool thing about that is that both of them were, like, if you already owned Quake 1 and 2 on Steam, they weren't separate products. They just upgraded your old one. So you just have it.
That's cool.
So if you already have Quake or Quake 2, you've already got Quake 1 and 2 remaster.
So now you can rocket jump in 4K.
Now you can rocket jump, yeah. If you so please, see those crunchy pixels really clearly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really crunchy.
Really, really, yeah.
So the other part of this is the audio, and the audio is the main thrust of the cartoon, because the audio is just lifted from an iconic Budweiser advert from, I believe, the year 1999. Yeah, so this is, the audio is taken from the iconic Budweiser Was Up advert, which is often cited as being one of the biggest adverts in American history.
I can see that.
That for a while just changed the way people spoke.
I mean, yeah, we're so big, like, the UK for a long time was not as exposed to American culture as it is now. And this was so big that, like, we knew what this was around the same time that, like, America did. Like, around the time this aired, we already knew what it was.
Yeah, which is just a bunch of bros drinking some Budweiser and screaming down the phone at each other.
Yeah, it's so fun thing is that this is literally turn of the century humor. December 20th, 1999.
Now that is amazing.
That is days before we entered year 2000.
Before the millennium began.
Before the millennium commenced. We're still experiencing the millennium. It's now been 23 years off.
Yeah, I know, right?
Fuck you, Will. I guess some of it's been alright.
So, again, like, you can see how these two pop culture things, one very deep nerd culture and one very mainstream American culture, came together to form the Quake 3 Was Up. Now, there were many other Was Ups. The Quake 3 Was Up is one that has been on my radar for a while because of the rabbit hole I knew it would send me down.
Ah, okay.
I think we can just transition into some Flash. So yeah, this was uploaded to Newgrounds by someone by the handle of Dark Nova. Back in May of 2000. To date, it has 118,000 views, which is kind of middling, but has very strong memories attached for the people who remember it. So Dark Nova didn't start on Newgrounds, of course. Dark Nova started with his own Quake 3 deathmatch community online in the late 90s. This was called Lamer Cats. That's Lamer, K-A-T-Z.
I love it. I love it.
And I'm going to just link you the site, which is still up.
No way! Oh my god, okay.
Okay.
I'm clicking this immediately.
So, when uploaded on the Lamer Cats website, he said about Quake 3 Was Up, shockwave required. I figured I better do this before the whole concept gets way overdone, or am I already too late? I think both. Really? But Lamer Cats was a long-running Quake 3 deathmatch clan. They had IRC channel. They had Quake 3 servers they would play on regularly. They had a Lamer Cats t-shirt.
Amazing.
And Alex, I would like you to tell us what this t-shirt looks like, because it is beautiful.
Let's see. Oh my god.
Yeah, so if you want to read the ad copy at the top there.
Okay. Are you a nobody? Do you have no friends? Jealous of everyone else? Tired of living like gutter slime? Enviously watching all the cool people are much more popular and drive nicer cars than you? Here's your chance to change, asterisk, your life. And then the parentheses underneath, your life probably won't change. Just get yourself a lemur cat t-shirt. Instantly you'll notice what an impact it will have on your life. Not only will you be making a bold fashion statement, but you'll have more friends, you'll smell nicer, gas will be cheaper, your sex life will go through the roof, and you won't have to do laundry as often because you have an extra shirt.
I think the bold that fashion statement and the you'll have an extra shirt are the only true statements.
I was going to say, that's just a true statement. You will, in fact, have an extra shirt. That doesn't necessarily mean you'll have to do less laundry.
Mm-hmm. People in this community called themselves lemurs because they were part of the lemur cats community, right?
Yeah.
The t-shirt on the back. So the t-shirt has the lemur cats logo in delightful gradient rainbow word art. And on the back of the t-shirt, it says, damn camper, damn lag, damn BFG, damn aimbot, damn spam, damn quad, damn wall, damn railgun, damn gravity, damn lemurs, www.lemurcast.com. And I need to own this shirt. I will pay up to and including $50 in American for a shirt in my size. I'm a 2X. guess on that. You know, Christmas is coming.
Originally this cost $15,000. You know, it says it right here. This shirt is $15,000 plus shipping. This week only, we're offering these remarkable shirts for only $15. That is a 99.9% discount. How can you possibly say no to a 99.9% discount? And then it says Yahagdai 11.
Yeah, it's great. Like, we could sit here and read the entire website for an hour, because that's what I did when I was researching for this
episode. yeah, I can see why.
I do urge people to go and browse lemurcats.com. It is kind of a wonderful time capsule. They have photos from, LAN parties and QuakeCon.
Hell fucking yeah.
They have, there is the official Lamer Cats Lamer Bot, and yes, Lamer Bot is spelt with a 4 for the A and a 3 for the E, which is just a Quake 3 bot that they programmed, not just to play, but also to flame you in the chat.
Amazing.
So if you want a 23-year-old Quake 3 deathmatch bot that frags you and then calls you a, quote, homo lamer, then head to lamercast.com. I don't know if it still works. I really hope it still works. the site has a bunch of other stuff. There are a lot of other Flash animations that are all Quake 3 themed, as you might guess. There are also a bunch of con reports, photos, a CD key safe. There is a site called Email Fun, which I was not able to find the archives of, but the ones that survive on lamercats.com are basically just like chat logs of trolling people over email. Here's a choice quote. This is from one called Questions Only, where someone had contacted him asking where he can download an aimbot, and he just responded to every single email from this person asking a question in the style of like the classic improv game.
20 questions.
There are lots of these kind of things, like very kind of, you know, pass around the office like email gag stuff, but yeah. there are some real gems there. But also, it's a great time capsule for the language used, right? Like, someone emails him saying, "Can you please send me a link to an super eliteness aimbot?"
For fuck's sake. Yep. That sounds like the early 2000s, alright.
Or, quote, "So it will auto-aim against the other person and is only detectable by yourself? That sounds super Hakistani. You should send it me, please. I am dying to use this auto-aim bot kill."
And who isn't, really? Who isn't dying to use the auto-aim bot kill?
It is wild, yep. But yeah, I want to finish by talking about what became of Lemur Cats. So it started off in the late 90s. I did find a blog post from May 15th of 2000, which describes the Quake 3 was up thing. Where is it? Yes. The good news is that there's a big new feature launching today. You all know those WhatsApp spoofs that are spreading across the internet? Well, guess what I made? Be sure to check out my very own Quake 3 WhatsApp movie in Shockwave. And then, a week later, unbelievable. Okay, when I posted that Quake 3 WhatsApp thing, I knew it was going to be pretty popular. I just had no idea that it would be viewed over 50,000 times. My mailbox has been overflowing all week with compliments like these. "That Quake 3 was up thing is bloody funny. Ha! I got it on loop and can't stop laughing. I laughed my ass off. Congrats on one of the best movies I saw all day. Man, that's got to be one of the funniest things I've ever seen. I have no idea WTF that was up thing is about, but I couldn't stop laughing. Was up. I submitted the movie to Newgrounds.com, which is a huge site full of Shockwave movies." I just want to take a moment to really appreciate that description of Newgrounds.com from May of 2000. A huge site full of Shockwave movies.
Full of Shockwave movies, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely chock full.
It is great. So unfortunately, Dark Nova himself has not been heard from for a long time. However, the site Lemur Cats is still up. The last post in the news is from December 23rd of 2010 by Dark Nova himself. And it says, "I finally got around to bringing lemurcats.com back online after more than a year of downtime. Don't get your hopes up about more updates. This is likely the last one. The forums have also been removed because I don't really have time to monitor them. But hey, I'm still alive and kicking. I brought this site back online because it was really too much of a shame to let all this content disappear forever. So please enjoy it and share it with others. Any longtime readers who are still out there, feel free to leave a comment or email me to say hi. Signing off, Dark Nova." And there are 50 comments on that news post from as recently as last month.
Wow.
August 16th. So, hey, if you have fond memories of Quake 3 Deathmatch, or of Lemur Cats specifically, then hey, the site is still there. You can still go and post on it. There are a couple of bots in the responses, as is to be expected, but there are also just a lot of very sweet and kind comments from various people being glad to stumble across it and have their nostalgia surge with joy. Isn't that lovely?
That's lovely. I hope you're doing okay.
Yeah, hey, Dark Nova, if somehow you're listening to this, then hey, give us an email, flashinthepancast@gmail.com. Tell us how you're doing, because you are part of history. Let's finish off with a couple of comments on the Quake 3 WhatsApp.
There we go. Hey, Chog. November 25th, 2000, 4 out of 5 said, "Cool. The second best was up parody I have ever seen, right after Dragon Ball was up. That's all I have to say about it. The mouths are done very convincing. Good job."
So you know that in the future we're going to have to talk about Dragon Ball was up.
I like the idea of someone just like going through them all and being like, this one's not as good.
Yeah. So, so like while I was doing my research, like I ended up going down a rabbit hole of like news stories and videos about the Budweiser Was Up commercial, including a news interview with Scott Brooks, who was one of the stars of the advert. Actually, I'll link that in the show notes because it's quite lovely. But I wonder if he saw any of the parodies of it. I wonder if he enjoyed his voice coming out of John Carmack's mouth.
I mean, who wouldn't?
Who wouldn't? I know, right? let's see. Svendilan, August 19th, 2000, gave it 3 out of 5 stars and said, "So what is up? What is up with everyone and their grandma making a What's Up movie? Love, Svendilan."
That's actually kind of nice.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, what is this? Can someone tell me, please? Okay, yeah. Bye.
Okay, bye. I love you.
Bye. Hizzy Skiz, January 1st, 2001, 4 out of 5, said, "Awesome. Great job on making this one. The Quake characters look like they're actually saying What's Up." Or actually, it's more like Was Up. "I recommend this to any person who likes the whole phenomena."
Okay. Joe Cartoon Fan.
Wow, I wonder what cartoon he likes.
Yeah. May 21st of 2001 gave this 5 out of 5 and said, "What's Up?" "Man, this is the best What's Up parody. It disses all the other What's Up parodies ever. I watched this movie like 20 times daily. That's how good it is." "Mouth movement made it look like they're talking, and you used nice characters for this. Here are the names. Number 1, Ranger, the guy who is carrying the shotgun. Number 2, Klesk, the alien who is carrying the plasma gun. Number 3, Zero, the Chinese guy who has the rail gun. Number 4, John Carmack, one of the programmers from id Software that made Quake 3, who is also carrying the rocket launcher. Number 5, Doom, everyone's old favorite character who is carrying the lightning gun. You know that's his real taunt, except he doesn't say, 'What's up?' He just gets pissed as a serious Quake 3 crazy ass fan. You should make more movies of Quake 3. P.S. Quake 3 is the god of all games, including Counter-Strike. And that's the bottom line."
That's the bottom line. It's spelled with an E. That's the bottom line.
Joe Cartoon Fan is a fucking poet.
Yeah. Wow. Should sell this. You should sell this comment. It would make bank. Silly. Alright, okay. Silly Hero 95, May 23rd, 2023. Oh no. Oh no. Okay. They said, "What the? Is Quake 3 a game too?" How old are you? How old are you?
Silly Hero 95. From the name, I assume was in their mid to late 20s when they wrote that. Imagine being 28 and not knowing that Quake 3 exists.
I don't know what Quake 3 is.
Sounds like some kind of toothpaste. Frag that plaque with Quake 3.
I mean, to be fair, I'm still thinking about this. One of my coworkers couldn't distinguish The Legend of Zelda: Ocarina of Time, in her words, from all those other games.
Goodness me.
She is 28.
I mean, did she mean like from other Zelda games?
Yes.
I suppose that's less weird than looking at Zelda and looking at, say, God of War, and thinking, oh, these are basically the same.
Sure. I mean, the idea that somebody wouldn't immediately know Ocarina of Time on sight is an alien one.
Did you have an Ethan McManus from Control or Delete moment?
It wasn't quite that bad. And I was like, because we're playing this game. Shout out, by the way, to Guess the Dot Game, which is like a Wordle, but for game screenshots where you, spoilers, guess the game.
Ooh. Oh, like that round in Arcade Pit.
Yeah. Ocarina of Time came up, and I was like, oh, come on, you know this one. And she was like, no, I don't. And I was like, you absolutely do. Come on. This is one of the most famous games ever. You know this. And she was like, I know it's Zelda, but I don't know which one. And I was just like, there are only two Zelda games that look like this. It's one of them. She did get it, but it took a bit longer than I think it should if I was getting frustrated.
Well, clearly it was enough for you to call her out on this internationally distributed podcast.
Yes.
Now thousands of people will know of her shame.
She, I'm gonna get into this as well. She we were talking about spicy food, and she said that, she said that mint, including toothpaste, is spicy sometimes.
See, that's interesting, because what I believe is happening there. So, menthol, like mintiness, like peppermint or whatever, like, tricks your taste buds into thinking that they are much colder than they are.
Right. Sure.
Capsaicin and other kinds of spice kind of trick your mouth into thinking that it's much hotter than it is. So they are acting in similar ways, just in opposite directions.
No, I understand, but the whole time she kept saying, it's cold spicy, and I was like, there's no such thing.
Yes, what you're describing is
minty. It's mint. It's minty.
I think more people should say cold spicy. I'm on her side, Alex. I'm sorry.
No. What the fuck, dude? No. God damn it.
Consider yourself defeated in the marketplace of ideas.
Damn, I'm going to have to tell her tomorrow.
Yeah.
Be like, my friend thinks cold spicy is real, so I guess you win.
Yeah, you can send her a link to this episode as proof of her vindication.
Okay. Damn. Well, that's me told. Anyway, let's move on, I guess.
Yeah, let's
Harumph.
So, those are our cartoons for today. They're both short and very fucking silly, but both windows into different worlds, I think.
Yes.
So yeah, we have a couple of emails. Last time we watched Saturday Morning Watchmen, and we asked you, lovely Flashketeers, to email in and tell us about your favorite, or maybe least favorite, adaptations of media that kind of missed the point, or went a very different direction from the originals. And we got some very detailed emails, so I'm going to cut it down to just a couple, but I'm going to start here with this one. This is from Troy. Alex, if you would like to read this from Troy.
Okay. Troy says, howdy, partners.
Ooh.
Typically, there are a few remakes I've seen that have missed the point, quote-unquote, of the original. I think partially because I give the new creators the benefit of the doubt and can see the perspective they wanted to bring, even if they failed miserably. That being said, Tim Burton's Sweeney Todd makes some baffling decisions from the source material that change the fundamental way the characters are interpreted, specifically Helena Bonham Carter's portrayal of Mrs. Lovett.
Oh yeah, get her ass, Troy.
I do not wish to single out Helena for the acting choices. I am certain the directing she was given was poor, and I wish no one the challenge of following up Angela Lansbury, but her ability to float between sincere sweetness and cockney gruffness is part of what made the character of Mrs. Lovett so engaging, but also made her role as a manipulator so much more believable. Carter plays the role with such demure softness that it's inconceivable that she could even mislead anyone. It gives her far too much sympathy and undermines her agency. Not to mention, many jokes in the original relied on the contrast between her sweetness and her bombast, so almost any comedy involving Mrs. Lovett was also completely ruined. There are a lot of other bad decisions the movie made, but I think Tim Burton's over-reliance on his staple cast is the most obvious and egregious, even if it was a few years before Johnny Depp fully entered his Give No Fucks era. Sorry to remind you all of the existence of this movie.
I mean, I was checked out from the start because they didn't include the overture, and that's like one of the best parts of the musical. Yeah. So, no, you
What's
fucked up,
point?
Tim.
Yeah, sorry. Let's fuck off. Straight in the bin.
Yeah. Thank you, Troy. We agree.
Yes. Yep. Bad.
Okay, this one is from ARP. And ARP tells us, the adaptation that missed the mark for me is Starship Troopers, which thankfully was made into a satirical film spoofing fascist warmongering ideals, made from a book that more or less played them straight. Rumor has it the director didn't even finish reading the book, he just read some of it and called it good, and thus didn't realize what kind of book it was. For something that missed the point in a less good way, I would have to say either the most recent Great Gatsby movie, which I seem to remember was more focused on the glitz and glamour of the 20s, while the book was about like how much it sucks to be rich in wealth but poor in everything else. I don't know. The Great Gatsby movie is so much fun. It is Baz Luhrmann going absolutely whole hog on the source material. Is it good? I don't know. It's a great time, though.
Baz Luhrmann knows how to make an entertaining movie. You can say that much about him.
I still haven't seen Elvis.
Me either.
I know that he's white.
What, Baz Luhrmann or Elvis?
Yes.
Okay. Good talk.
Arp finishes by saying, or the Cat in the Hat live-action movie. Turning a whimsical story about a magical cat into a borderline slasher flick. And the Cat in the Hat live-action movie, like, I have seen children on the internet, by which I mean people under the age of 25.
I agree.
Try and go to bat for the Cat in the Hat movie as if it's, like, an unfairly maligned gem of their childhoods.
Yeah.
Like, I saw that in the cinema. I was like 13, maybe? 12, 13? I saw that in the cinema, and it was insufferable. Like, you want to talk, like, I mean, like, Troy mentioned Johnny Depp's not giving a fuck era. That was Mike Myers' not giving a fuck era starting, and it seems not to have finished.
Yeah, yet. When he did the Love Guru after that, right?
Like,
remember the Love Guru?
How could I forget? That was John Oliver's cinematic debut.
I like you calling out people under 25 as being children. I mean, agree.
Basically, yes.
I'm sorry if you're under 25. Didn't we have this exact conversation?
Weekly,
podcast?
Basically.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I remember saying something like, I'm pretty sure I said something like, you can have like a job, you can be an accountant, you can have a marriage, but if you're under 25, I'm sorry, you're a baby.
A tiny baby.
Tiny, tiny, tiny baby human. Sorry. Come back in 2 years.
Yeah, we don't make the rules.
No.
No. You know what? This one's big, but I think it's pretty fun. So
okay.
So this is from our frenemy, Great Joe.
Hello, Joe. Okay. Let's see. Yo, Joe! Okay, Joe says, I'm going to take you on a little journey here. It's about music and video game adaptations and how they've changed over the years. In the mid-1800s!
Yes!
Joe? What the... Okay. Widely problematic fave George Frederick Handel coined the term... Oh my god.
Gesamtkunstwerk.
What? Say that?
Gesamtkunstwerk.
Okay. I'm not going to try.
Gesamtkunstwerk.
Gesamtkunstwerk. Okay.
There you go.
The combined artwork. At the time, this was a revolutionary idea. Though now, it almost sounds cliched. That art should not just should be not just its constituent parts, but more. They should enhance each other, whether by synthesis or juxtaposition. This is, of course, in part to justify his dedication to opera rather than fine art like theatre or quote-unquote pure performed music, but it's widely applicable. Flash forward to the 1960s and the sheer financial girth of the baby boomer generation and the RIAA's standardization of high-fidelity records gave birth to the concept of the concept album. I'm not here to argue which was first, that's irrelevant, but the concept album is important in that each one is an attempt to make about an hour of music where each small chapter plays off its neighbours and forms a cohesive whole. Here's the thing though, if you're in 2005 and shopping online for music, it's a lot cheaper and easier on your data plan to buy Operation Mindcrime the song than Operation Mindcrime the album. And if you're in 2018 and looking at TikTok, you're not listening to a full song by the Shangri-Las. You're hearing one of them sped up going, oh no. The project here is fragmentation. Split up the artist's oeuvre. I think that's how you say that. Oeuvre? Split up the artist's oeuvre? How do you say that? Oeuvre? Okay. The project here is fragmentation. Split up the artist's oeuvre to get your favorite album. Split up the album to get your favorite song. Split up the song to get your preferred little snippet. Which brings me to my argument for the first adaptation. The one that misses the point. It's Fortnite!
Yay!
Fortnite is the platonic ideal of this hyper-fragmentation that soulless economists have been clamoring for. Just keep shoving tiny little snippets of everything, anything, just as long as it's all killer, no filler. Am I right? You fucking tell him, Joe.
Yeah. Yes. Go off,
fuck,
Joe.
Fuck the man. Fuck Fortnite. Fuck Epic Games.
Fortnite.
Fuck Tim Sweeney.
Fortnite is cultural hit clips.
Whoa. Ooh. Damn. Your friend and me, great Joe. Incredible email, as always, yeah. Joe.
We don't often get a dissertation in our inbox, but when we do, we know when that we it's going to be a good time.
It's from Joe, and it starts with, in the mid-1800s, and ends at Fortnite.
Yeah, Joe writing us an email like a defunct land script.
Holy fuck.
A powerful rat called Tim Entertainment Sweetie.
Fuck off, Tim.
Hey, Tim, if you're listening, big fan, right into the show, flashinthepancast@gmail.com.
I disagree. Fuck off.
And if you want to email into the show, flashinthepancast@gmail.com is the address to email in. I would very much like to continue... I would very much like to continue the thread of delightful little snippets that we have been on a theme of this episode, it seems, because I'm going to ask our lovely Flashcateers to email in and tell us about your favourite adverts. Inspired, of course, by the Budweiser Was Up.
Was Up.
Was Up!
Was Up!
Was Up!
Was Up!
And of course, you do not have to email about that. You can email us about anything. If you would like to suggest more cartoons for us to cover, as you heard earlier, we are driven mostly by your requests and suggestions for cartoons and animations and just weird projects in that sphere. And you can send all of those suggestions, as usual, to our email address, flashinthepancast@gmail.com, along with your questions, comments, corrections, love mail, hate mail, hunger mail. What did you have for lunch? That's nice. and you too can feed our content mill with your delicious feedback grist.
I really like you saying, that's nice, like a parent that's not listening. It's really... really good.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. Okay, darling. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hey, put that down.
Damn, like I'm 11 all over again.
Yeah, so...
I'm glad my mom doesn't listen to this.
I mean, she should. Hey, Alex's mom, if you're listening, email in, flashinthemancast@gmail.com. Anyway,
Hi, Mom, love you, really.
Hi, it's me, Tom, remember? You're nice. Let's finish off. I think we have come to the end. This has been very silly and fun. I am probably going to spend my time offline after this, just browsing more of the Lemurcats website.
It's very good. I've currently got the QuakeCon 2001 pictures pulled up.
Oh,
just
yeah.
So I can experience QuakeCon 2001.
The fashion is unparalleled.
It's so... It's kind of sad in a way, like, knowing what QuakeCon is like now and seeing, like, how it just used to be, like, a bunch of nerds in a hotel that just wanted to get together and talk about Quake.
My favorite photo is this one, which has a big cardboard Intel inside Pentium 4 standee that they've just attached to the wall.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that is... Look at the size of that PC tower behind that guy. Holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck.
It's wonderful. So, yes. This has been Flash in the Pan. Until next time, Alex, where can people find you? You're on some sites.
I'm on some sites. I'm still on that darn Twitter. I'm really... genuinely wake up every day expecting it to have just vanished. Honestly, I'm like, and one day I'm just gonna check my phone and it's just not gonna be there anymore. But until then, I'm still there. Twitter.com/DEX01. You can also find me on co-host. I like co-host. Co-host is nice. I still don't use it as much as I should, but I'm trying. co-host.org/DEX01, I believe. Mm-hmm. I think that's right. Should be.
Cool beans.
And also I'm on the Blue Sky. I'm on the Blue Sky app. Hey, they got rid of Jack Dorsey from the Blue Sky app, so I guess it's fine.
I did see that Jack got bullied off Blue Sky.
Yeah, so I guess it's actually funny. Good. It's actually good now. So it's like bbsky.social.princesspunk on Blue
Princess
Sky.
Princess Punk. And you stream as well, don't you?
I do stream twitch.tv/xsplashnx. We're live every... Saturday morning and Sunday evening UK time for the stream times with my buddy Val Moon, who's been on the podcast two times, count them two, and you can find everything else that I've ever done music wise and otherwise at alexvalentine.card.co.
Wonderful. You can find me on the Blue Ski as well, Gertrude Perkins, Gertrude PRKNS, same as Twitter, Gertrude PRKNS, and also co-hosts, Gertrude PRKNS. I haven't been posting that much, but maybe I'll do that soon. More importantly, you can find us. We're still on Twitter, at FlashITPancast or FlashItPancast, but more importantly, you should follow us on Patreon, which is where you can also support us. That's patreon.com/flashinthepan, where you can give us actual human money. And if you do that, then you can listen to these episodes a week early. Ooh.
Ooh.
You can also, if you give us a little more scratch, join our very chill and fun Discord community, where recently we've been talking about egg melting and Attack on Titan.
Yeah.
And also Axis Powers Italia, because there's never a bad time to talk about Axis Powers Italia.
Not sure about that, but yeah.
Our website, as always, flashinthepancast.com, where you can find links to all the cartoons we have talked about today, all of the links to other stuff and all of our previous episodes, including a master list of everything we've ever covered. Wow. Thank you always, as usual, forever. Mega thank you to Alicia E. Goranson, our gracious web host. You can find her writing, recording, and other gubbins at alicia-goranson.com. Hey, that has been Flash in the Pan. Until next time, I have been Tom.
I've been Alex.
And the duck has spoken.
Have a great Flash. Flash in the Pan.
Oh, Alex, before we stop, I did find this on lamercats.com.
Okay.
Would you like to read together with me?
Oh, well, you've this... just sent me a link that says computer_gender.shtml, so yes.
Yeah, so this is some primo circa 1999 humor about the difference between man's and women's.
Wow.
Would you like to read this for us, Alex?
Sure, okay. So, let's see.
Hold on to your sides.
Hold on. It's going to be real funny. Okay, what gender is your computer? A pastor of one church who was previously a sailor was very aware that ships are addressed as she and her. He often wondered by what gender computers should be addressed. To answer that question, he set up two groups of computer experts. The first was comprised of women, and the second of men. Each group was asked to recommend whether computers should be referred to in the feminine gender or the masculine gender. They were asked to give four reasons for their recommendation. The group of women reported that the computers should be referred to in the masculine gender because, one, in order to get their attention, you have to turn them on. Fucking hell. Number two, they have a lot of data, but are still clueless. Number three, they are supposed to help you solve problems, but half the time they are the problem. And four, as soon as you commit to one, you realize that if you'd waited a little longer, you could have had a better model. The men, on the other hand, concluded computers should be referred to in the feminine gender because, oh, this is going to be good. Number one, no one but their creator understands their internal logic. Number two, the native language they use to communicate with other computers is incomprehensible to everyone else. Number three, even your smallest mistakes are stored in long-term memory for later retrieval. And number four, as soon as you make a commitment to one, you find yourself spending half your paycheck in accessories for it. That's hilarious.
That's really it. There's no punchline. That's it.
That's it. The punchline there is a copyright Lamer Cats underneath.
There are so many jokes like that on this site.
Spoilers, this is advice for straight people. You're meant to like, and being attracted to the opposite gender is different from liking the person that you're attracted to. This seems to be a problem that I see a lot. You need to actually like the other person that you agree to enter into a relationship with.
That's not what I learned from sitcoms.
You know what? Fucking sitcoms have got a lot to answer for. Fucking sitcoms are the entire reason this problem exists. Well, it's a little bit of it, but it's so funny. I like the implication that women don't communicate in the same language as men,
mm-hmm.
despite the fact that we've had this whole our conversation in English together.
Oh, sorry, what was that? I wasn't listening.
Typical men.
Dead to rights.
Dead to rights.